TV.
You are at MCTV, and I am glad you are here. I'm Martin Zender, your host, holding court south of the equator from Lima, Peru. However, looks like we are coming home on Saturday. So we're both looking forward to that. You know, I love the phrase, era of the end. And that's the phrase we read in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel was, in 1979, when I bought my first Bible, a New American Standard Bible, I instinctively opened to Daniel. I don't know why. And I read the book of Daniel like three times. And I think one of the greatest books A. Enoch has ever written is Concordance Studies in the Book of Daniel. It's full of prophecies concerning the end of the era, or as Daniel says, the era of the end. And who isn't excited about that? Oh, yeah, I know there are some who aren't, but I am and you are. Because as Solomon writes in Proverbs 7:8, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. The end is better than the beginning. The end of anything is better than the beginning. When I was a kid, the end of the school day was glorious when I saw those buses pulling up into the playground to take us home. The end of a thing, the end of the school year, the end of my compulsory education, the end of a work day, the end of the eon, the end of our misery, the end of our anxiety, the end of the death of our loved ones, the end of sickness, the end of despair, the end of suicide, the end of a thing. We are in a thing. And this thing is called Eon 3. And the end of a thing. This is scripture, Proverbs 7:8. From the wisest man who ever lived, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Sometimes we long for the past. I do too. Sometimes I want to go back to the 70s when life was simple. But I've talked to Manfred about this many times. I have to shout out to my brothers Manfred and Phil from Florida. I'm sorry I haven't been much in touch with you guys. I've been in a real funk lately. You guys know that. Looking forward to seeing you soon, gentlemen. The end. Manfred and I sometimes talk about, you know, the good old days, but then we always come back to, we don't want to be one day farther away from the snatching away or from the end of this eon. So no matter how miserable or trying or tiresome these days may become, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. And we are near the end. Daniel calls this the era of the end. And I showed you charts yesterday about the changes that have come on this world in a short period of time. Human beings were riding horses from the time of Adam to 1850. Riding horses. And from 1850 till now, the exponential change in transportation, in speed, in the complexity of life, in information, and in knowledge. And this is a verse that I didn't give enough attention to yesterday from Daniel. And I want to do that today. Welcome to the show, everyone. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12. I love this passage for many reasons. I know this is to the circumcision, but it's prophecy that applies to our day. In that era, Michael shall stand up. Michael, the archangel. Michael, one of the chiefs of the angelic messengers. The great chief who is standing over the sons of your people. Michael was created specifically to be the guardian, the caretaker, the assistant to Israel. Then an era of distress will come to pass. Not at the time Daniel was writing this, but then, that is, in that era, an era of distress will come to pass, such as has not occurred since there was a nation on the earth until that era. This is obviously talking about the tribulation, and our Lord prophesied also concerning the tribulation. Now, in that era, it's also called the time of Jacob's trouble. Israel is going to be specifically tried during that time, but it will afflict the whole earth. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. A third of the earth's population will be killed. A third of the fresh water will be spoiled. And many other things that have never occurred before. And unless those days would be shortened, no flesh at all would be saved. So traumatic will it be. And as I said yesterday, worse than the days of Noah. Because the days of Noah were quick, a flash, flood. But this is a protracted period of birth pangs. It's not just Israel going through the birth pangs. It's the planet itself. The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard. The planet itself is going through birth pangs. And the nations, the inhabitants of this world, though they know it not, they are feeling distress and pressure and depression and anxiety as never before. The drugs, prescription or otherwise, that are being taken today rival any other day in the history of the world because of all the things I talked about yesterday. The compression of the times. These exponential climbs in complexity and change and travel and explosive power are happening in a brief period, which corresponds perfectly to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, which speaks of things that must happen swiftly, not quickly, as though they would follow soon after John wrote the unveiling. No, but swiftly, that is when they started. And they started in 1959, 1960. They would accelerate and accelerate at a blinding pace so that you wouldn't be able to keep up with it. And that it will swamp men and women and children in tension, in anxiety, in despair. The suicide rates today, never before seen in the history of the world. I don't know how more people don't kill themselves every day. As Henry David Thoreau said, men everywhere lead lives of quiet desperation. I sometimes look at the world and I think, oh, everybody's having a good time. They're not. They're all living lives of quiet desperation. They're putting on smiles. They're functioning because of some pharmaceutical product. And I don't claim to be immune from that. I'm not judging anyone. It's the nature of the eon. Ah, but the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Proverbs 7, verse 8. And this must end. And this will end. And the end is near. I know that's a cliched phrase, but it is. If you didn't see yesterday's video, watch it. I give you many reasons there of why this is the era of the end spoken of by Daniel in chapter 12. Let's continue. Now in that era, your people shall escape, all those found written in the scroll. I am seeing this verse and the next one. Let me read the next one. I have a unique reading on this that I've never thought of before. And I'm going to tell you this is a complete hypothesis on my part. But I try to read scripture as plainly as possible with childlike, simple eyes, not forcing something in that I think is true, but reading it for what it says, even if it brings out new information that I've never thought of before. It's the next verse that I'm doing that with, from this verse, verse 2. Let me go back to the end of verse 1 here. Now, in that era, your people shall escape all those found written in the scroll. So there's a caveat there. All your people will escape. Well, great. Oh, I know where there's a caveat here. All those found written in the scroll. What scroll? The scroll of life. Verse 2, from those sleeping in the soil of the ground, many shall awake. These two aeonian life and these two reproach for aeonian repulsion. I hate to do this to you again, but I have to get some whiskey for my voice. I'm so concentrating on the material and how I'm organizing the show, and I'm making pages of notes, and I forget to bring it to the table. And I do it for my voice. It's getting ragged already. If you will please excuse me, I really don't do this on purpose. You may be getting tired of it. You may be amused by it. I don't know which it is, but please be patient with me, and I will be right back. Faithful, Jack Daniels, Old Number 7. Hang on, I'm going to get to this first, and I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing here. Never saw it before, don't know if I'm right. If I knew I was right, I would tell you, like, you know, the pre-existence of Christ, things like that, the salvation of all, sovereignty of God, the two evangels, the meaning of justification, the meaning of conciliation, translation of certain words. If I know I'm right, I'll tell you. If I'm not sure, I'll tell you that. Okay, that's better, right? Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this verse 2, but because I really want to get down to verse 4. Now you, Daniel, stop up the words and seal the scroll until the era of the end. Oh my God, that could give you chills, that phrase. Seal the scroll until the era of the end, when many shall swerve, as knowledge shall increase. But the concordance says that evil shall increase. Why does a concordance do that? I'm going to explain that to you. What is the significance of the word swerve? Oh, there's lots of significance to that, both for the body of Christ, for Israel, and for the world at large. What about knowledge? Oh, I think that A.E. Nock, the translator of the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant version of the Old Testament, I believe that he personally fulfilled Scripture and brought knowledge to bear that the world had not seen before, not since Daniel wrote this. I'm going to get to that too. But listen to this and tell me what you think. From those sleeping in the soil of the ground, many shall awake. This many is what throws me off. Many shall awake, these to aeonian life, and these to reproach for aeonian repulsion. Now, I believe this to be the former resurrection. We know that we are the next group to be made immortal. We will be snatched away at the presence of the Lord. We have a prior expectation in Christ. We will precede Israel in Christ's presence. Christ's presence, as described in 1 Corinthians 15:22, is in two parts, coming for the body of Christ in secret, because ours is a secret evangel. It's still a secret. And even though there's a copy of the Holy Scriptures and Paul's letters in every hotel room in America, thanks to the Bereans, people do not understand Paul's gospel. They don't get it. They don't understand that it's a separate revelation. They could print a billion more Bibles and no one will be any wiser for it. Because the problem is not quantity, the problem is quality. But God calls whom he calls and he hardens whom he hardens. So it's God's business, not ours. From those sleeping in the soil, the ground shall, many shall awake, these to aeonian life. Well, who's going to wake to aeonian life? Of course, the apostles, the patriarchs, David, all the faithful Israelites from the time of Abraham on. And really, from the time of Christ to this time, faithful Israelites, true to their calling, who don't mix up Paul with the circumcision gospel. They will rise to aeonian life. But it has always been my understanding that the unfaithful Israelites, the rest of them, will rise at the great white throne. But it is just interesting here because from those sleeping in the soil of the ground, that is those who are dead, and this is a circumcision letter, so this is not talking about anybody in the body of Christ, many shall awake. Many, not all. If the great white throne was in view here, would say all shall awake, all shall awake. These aeonian life and these to reproach for aeonian repulsion. And I would separate those times. I would say these to aeonian life at the second coming of Christ and these to reproach for aeonian repulsion an eon later at the end of eon 4 at the great white throne. I would have no problem with that if that word was all shall awake. But from what I'm seeing here, those sleeping in the soil of the ground, many shall awake. At that time, that is, the era of the end, that is, the former resurrection, the return of Christ. In fact, the former resurrection occurs 75 days after the return of Christ. We get that from, I believe, this same chapter in Daniel. Not going to go there or explain that now. It's a bit complicated. But I see this now as there are going to be some unworthies raised from the dead. And they're going to be part of the judgment of the nations, I think. I mean, wouldn't you kind of want to see like Caiaphas and all these Jews that said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, and all the inner enemies of Israel, the betrayers, Judas, all the inside operators who betrayed the cause, who hated God, who hated Christ. Is it possible that they shall awake at what we have called the former resurrection? We can still call it that. I got no problem with calling it that. But my former understanding was only the worthies of Israel will awake at that time. Yet this verse is telling us that those sleeping in the soil of the ground, many shall awake. These to aeonian life, these to reproach for aeonian repulsion. We know that many of the nations, which nations consist of individuals, those who were unworthy, those who did not help God's people, they're exiled to the four corners of the earth, to the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is called aeonian chastisement, not eternal punishment, as it says in the common English versions, like the NIV and the KJV and the NASB. No, no, no. This matches up to me with aeonian repulsion. And these will only be those of an Israelite persuasion. That's why it says many shall awake. Not all shall awake, because everybody else will awake at the great white throne. But is it possible that unworthy Israelites will awaken right next to worthy Israelites? That Judas will awaken right next to Peter? They will be raised from the dead. Judas right next to Peter. That'll be interesting. Peter to aeonian life, and Judas to aeonian repulsion. But he won't miss out on the kingdom. He'll still be living on that regenerated earth. And even those in the outer darkness, suffering aeonian chastisement, they're living, I think, in many ways better than the kings on the earth today. I could be wrong about that. It might be total misery. They might be wringing their hands out there. We know that Satan gets up in insurrection when he is loosed from the submerged chaos at the end of the thousand years. So it's hard to say what these people are doing. But I had been thinking all along, why upstairs? Why? Stop it. What are you doing? Rearranging your furniture at 7 o'clock p.m.? I lost my train of thought there. Why? Sorry. You get my drift. I think now from this verse, it's possible that some will arise who are unworthies. And I kind of like that idea, because we don't have to wait to see them until the great white throne, and they get to see what the kingdom's like, even though they were the antagonists of it. Like they get to live it out, and they're not being tortured somewhere, they're not in fire, they're living, as I would tend to think, better lives, even in the outer darkness. They're still on a regenerated earth, remember. Okay. I love this verse 3. The intelligent shall warn as the warning of the atmosphere, and those turning many to righteousness will be as the stars for the eon and further. This, to me, is the high calling. This, to me, is not the high calling Paul talks about in Philippians, but this is the Israel version of it. I know there's 3 or 4 people who hate any idea that anyone will get anything special, that there will be rewards for works. I know, just you 4 people out there, just plug your ears or go watch Underdog reruns on YouTube. Just do something besides listen to me, because I don't want to hear you complaining about this. I'm going to say it because it's the truth. There are intelligent, the intelligent in Israel, people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the intelligent shall warn. This is during the time of the end, though. They shall warn as the warning of the atmosphere. When you see, like, red at night, sailors delight. Red in the morning, sailors take warning. See a ring around the moon, it's going to rain tomorrow. Like the warning of the atmosphere, the intelligent. And if I may, if you will grant me this liberty, I am going to steal from Daniel and apply this to myself. The intelligent shall warn as the warning of the atmosphere, and those turning many to righteousness will be as the stars for the eon and further. Paul hints at this in 1 Corinthians 15. Star excels star in glory. When he's talking about the resurrection of the dead, there's a different glory in the resurrection. Sorry, I hope you 4 people are still not listening. There are different glories of resurrection, even in the body of Christ. There's one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, one glory of the stars, and even star is excelling star in glory. Paul then says, thus also is the resurrection of the dead. And here we have in Israel those who are turning many to righteousness. This is not somebody who's making people righteous. This is not a priest or a pastor who, with a yardstick, beating people into moral perfection or trying to. This is what all the pastors do today. They try to bring their flocks into obedience to the law of Moses. This is not that. Now, the way I'm stealing this from Daniel and applying it to myself, you can apply it to yourself if you want, but I'm going to apply it to myself here. If you don't mind, please indulge me. Turning many to righteousness, turning people from their own righteousness to the righteousness of Christ, turning them from human free will to the sovereignty of God, turning them from a faith that they think is self-generated to the truth that faith can only come from God. Those turning many to righteousness, many, many. I'm sorry, but some people tell me, Martin, it's not about numbers. To hell, it's not about numbers. Yes, it is about numbers. Paul said, I become all things to all people. Paul wants to reach as many people as he can. Obviously, he did. It is about the numbers. But it's not about the outward successes. It's about the effort. And for 33 years, I have done nothing but trying to turn as many people as I can by as many means as I can, whether it's literature, whether it's audio tapes, whether it's videos, whether it's short little films. I'm trying to turn as many people as I can to the righteousness of Christ. And this verse says that they will be as stars for the end. I want this. I want to be as a star for the end and further. Maybe you do too. And I think this is the Hebrew equivalent. This is the Israel equivalent of Philippians chapter 3. The high calling, the calling above that only the mature are disposed to. And if you're not disposed to it, God will let you know that. And you're not to be overweening above what your disposition must be. You can't want to do that just because I'm doing it or just because somebody you know is doing it. If you have a disposition, if you have a burning and a yearning desire in your heart to turn many to righteousness from their own righteousness, then you, my friend, will be as the stars for the eon and further. I freaking want this. I'm sorry, but I do. I want to be as a star for the eon and further and on and on. And the life that we have, the immortal life, all of us will have an immortal life that goes on. And it indeed will shine. It indeed is glorious. And it is internal power generated by the Spirit of God within. And it's self-sustaining. And the light will never, ever go out. And it takes intelligence. It's God-given intelligence. The intelligent shall warn. And I have warned Christianity as a religion. I've warned on many, many videos that God is going to kill a third of the human race during the tribulation. And it will be the religious people. God is going to cleanse the earth of the world's religion and politics. Man's religion and politics. I have warned people. I've warned my own son about it. That the day is coming. That life is not going to continue as it has been continuing. That there is a great change coming. And that the Lord himself will say to many who say to him, Lord, didn't we do this in your name, do mighty works in your name? He'll say, I never knew you, workers of lawlessness. Why? Because many are swerving. Many have swerved as the Christian religion has increased exponentially since 1900, since the Pentecostal movement, the Azusa Street movement in California. And since then, many, many denominations have risen up because it's a time of the end. And this is false knowledge. And this is swerving. And I warned people out of it. I have said, get out of it. Get out of it. Get out of it. You have to leave it now. And I'm doing it again today. You must leave. If you are in the church, if you're in the institution, if you know somebody who's in the church or in the institution, tell them to get the hell out now. And I mean run, because this is the era of the end.